flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know what to tell you, Dan. I feel like I drag ass more on Thursdays than Mondays. I'm all right this morning.
I'm not going to lie. Thursday was way more down than Monday is.
Well, that's partially because we were with Omar. sorry, Omar. Omar catching a stray here this morning. All right, welcome back. It is Hollywood and Dan Day. Dan is going to be working from 6 to 6, I think, apparently today.
Let's
so
go.
12 hours of Dan Day. I will only be with you for 4 hours today. That's all I got for you. But we have so much going on. I guess, you know, Dan, you come in on a Monday, and there's so much going on right now. There really is. It was funny. So I was at a kid's birthday party yesterday, all right? A rock climbing birthday party, by the way.
Man, nice.
I haven't really been to one of those before, but this place was really cool. I need to remember the name of it. So as we go through this discussion, I will get you the name of this place. But somebody came up to me, one of the parents. They go, well, "Hey, this must be like Velocity Climbing is the name of the place."
Nice.
Velocity Climbing. No, it's not. Yes, it is Velocity Climbing. Anyway, we're at this place, which, by the way, I got to tell you, if you have an active young child. This place...
It's like a spaceship, I'm sure.
And I'm not getting paid to do this right now, Dan, but I will tell you, this place, they have a thing where it's like a self... You know, like when what am I doing? What am I gesturing to you? Belay, they call it.
Okay.
Where you like pull the person.
Yeah.
Or not pull them, but you essentially make sure they don't fall to their death.
Yeah.
Right? That's the way you have like a person helping you. They have these like self-propelling... things, and you snap the kids can snap into it and they can climb all the way to the top. Anyway, I gotta tell you, you talk about wiping the kids out.
Oh, good.
Man, this was awesome. This was really cool. It was like a good place to go to wipe them out. They had places for me to sit and put my bets in. And so it was
good, just perfection.
But someone came up to me and they go, "Hey, you know, this must be good for you. It's a kind of a quiet, you know, things starting to quiet down for you."
Hmm?
I was like, well, yeah, you know, the dolphins are usually out of it by this time of year, so that's, you know, never an issue. And, you know, the canes are finished for now. But has it slowed down? No, it is not, because there was football all weekend, and every single game has its own kind of incredible storyline, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, we can go through all these games, Dan, and Chiefs-Texans, right? The Chiefs do just enough to win the game, but again, it's like, you know, the controversial calls and all the stuff that goes the way of the Chiefs. That hit on Mahomes that they throw the flag on, like the way they protect Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah,
and I get it, he's your golden goose, but like, good God, the way they protect this guy. Here's the thing, man. If Patrick Mahomes is going to run down the field, you're going to be a runner. Like, you can't keep throwing these flags when the guy slides at the last second after the guy's already lunging at him to tackle him. It's just too difficult. And it's the same thing
defender,
in these other games. Like, these guys essentially are running backs at that point.
And as a defender, you almost don't want to touch him because if you hit him, then they're going to throw a flag. So it's like, oh.
And then you know what he's going to do? He's going to go ahead towards the sideline. You're going to lay off, and then he's going to stick his shoulder in you and try to dump truck you for an extra 5 yards.
Right. You'll end up giving up an extra, because they have the quarterbacks that do that. They look like they're about to go down, and you kind of give up, and they run for another 5 or 6 yards. And it's like, man. And then you get mad at the defender because, man, why didn't he try to tackle him? It's like, because he don't want to tackle on 15 yards. And it's just, yeah, some of the protection that they give these quarterbacks, it's just too much.
Well, the Texans came up short in that game. C.J. Stroud threw for 245 yards.
And I thought he was good.
Touchdown or a pick. I did, too. Again, that is a tough ask. That is a tough ask to go in there and win a game in Kansas City. That is certainly not an easy one there. And they will get another home game. The Chiefs will get another one, so we'll get another Taylor Swift. Mm. And she was with Taylor Swift over
no,
the weekend.
No.
Caitlin Clark was in there with Taylor
Swift. She keeps an entourage like no. I love that Super Bowl last year where it was like everybody got like 15 minutes with her. Like you'd have Ice Spice, then Blake Lively, then, I don't know, President Barack Obama. Like it was just a cavalcade of stars with her. I loved it.
Yeah, so it's almost like ESPN is custom picking who they put into that booth up there because, you know, ESPN had that game. And Caitlin Clark was, I guess, the most Googled athlete. She's the most Googled athlete in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, she had herself a year. But yeah, look, the Texans had a few chances in that game to tie that game. They came up short. And the Chiefs are moving on yet again. So that was the storylines from that game. Then the next game was the Lions. Just boy, the Commanders took it to them.
They did.
I mean, they took it to them. They put so much pressure on those guys, and the Lions turned the ball over 5 times in that game. The Commanders did not turn the ball over. That is usually the recipe to win a game. Jaden Daniels, by the way, 22 of 31, 299 and 2.
And he rushed for about 57 yards, too.
I got to tell you, man, Jaden Daniels, and I'm not trying to tie this back to our market. I'm just saying this, like, just to say it. He is the reason why you keep taking stabs at quarterbacks in the draft. I mean, look what that guy. He's got his team. They may very well beat the Eagles.
They got a shot.
They got a real damn shot to go in there and beat the Eagles. That spread's 5.5 points. They got a real shot. By the way, that was the biggest spread of the weekend. The Commanders going into Detroit.
Yeah. But yeah, Jaden Daniels does that to you. That's why you see all these teams, and I know he was a second overall pick, but you see all these teams reach on these quarterbacks sometimes, like a Kenny Pickett, because you don't want to be that person, on Lamar Jackson even, you know, you don't want to be that person that passed up on a generational quarterback.
Dude, if you're a Bears fan, do you just puke every time this guy plays?
I still think Caleb Williams is going to be good.
Yeah, he's not going to be that, I don't think.
Okay.
I don't think he's going to be that good. Jaden Daniels just has it. Like, you can tell. And C.J. Stroud, I know, kind of fell off a little this year. A little bit of a sophomore slump. But I do think, like, he showed you in that game that he's not only is he a good player, but he's tough.
He still won 2 playoff games in 2 years.
Yeah,
That's pretty good.
Yeah, he's a tough dude. And he's the kind of guy that I think you could continue to build your franchise around.
Yeah.
But this Jaden Daniels is just, I mean, you talk about special. Like, he's got the entire toolbox, man. And he is showing it. And he may very damn well get his team to a Super Bowl. Because I'll tell you what, the Eagles, they seem very beatable. They seem very beatable. And I know Saquon Barkley just continues to throttle teams, but Jalen Hurts was banged up in that game, man. He was really banged up. He was at the point where he couldn't move anymore. He took the safety late in that game. Like, he just could not move anymore. The only thing was is that the Rams just could not capitalize and could not go out in front of that game. They had every chance in the world to win that game. They really did, and the Rams were not able to close that one out. The Eagles win it, so you get Commanders and Eagles from Philly, and then the game of the weekend was Bills and Ravens, which came to a very, I don't want to say anticlimactic finish, but kind of sad to the way that game ended, as Lamar Jackson takes his team up the field in a very memorable drive, right? I mean, you talk about legacy drives, and he throws an incredible, one of the best you'll ever see, touchdown passes to get the game within 2. And then they run their little rollout on the last play there on the 2-point conversion. And he hits the most reliable tight end. One of the most reliable tight ends we've ever seen, right? And you talk about guys that make big catches, that have just always been that safety receiver. Mark Andrews is that guy. Mark Andrews dropped the two-point conversion. That was after he, by the way, fumbled, had a very costly fumble.
In middle field, yeah.
When the game, I think it was, what, a 4-5 point game at that point? Was it 24-19, I think, right, when he fumbled? And they were about to cross over midfield, and who knows what would happen if he doesn't decide, you know, maybe he decides just go, keep going, you know, north and south and, you know, go down instead of, you know, dancing in the middle of the field in a snowstorm. And he gets the ball punched out from behind, which, you know, again, Mark Andrews, man, just such a sure-handed type of guy. They said he hadn't fumbled in a game since like 2019, I think they said was the year.
Bad timing. And I'm watching the replay. Lamar Jackson hit him right in the middle of the chest.
He did.
For that 2-point conversion.
Yeah, oh, no. There's no debating on this.
If you're saying, well, he should have led him more in that weather with that, maybe he shouldn't have led him more. Give your body a chance to catch it. He just dropped it? I mean, nothing you can say about it. He just dropped it.
Yep, absolutely. Let's see here. We got some texts coming in. Texter says Omar Kelly called it with Jaden Daniels. What did he say? He was going to be better.
He said he was going to be better than Caleb Williams.
Yeah, but I know a few people said that.
But his reasoning was Caleb Williams should have won more games in college. Well, Jaden Daniels didn't win that. I mean, he won games in college, but he wasn't any more successful than Caleb Williams.
305 says Ryan Clark pointed out how strategic Mahomes is to get the flag when he's running out of bounds. He stops at the last second, so the defender hits him while he's in bounds. Mahomes has mastered it, man.
Yeah.
Mahomes has absolutely mastered it. To the texter that asked, where is Joe? Joe will stop by. He'll join us for a few minutes today. Joe is taking some very well-deserved time off, so if he wants to tell you where he is, he can. But he certainly deserves some time off, and that's what he's taking. Tough ass for C.J. Stroud. Like I says, oh, he says laughing. A lot of tough ass for C.J. Stroud, but Tua sucks because he didn't win in -17-degree weather. That's crazy. I don't know how we're dragging Tua into this.
I mean, it was a tough ass for anybody to go into Kansas City.
If this guy wants to do that, the Texans had a pretty good chance to win that game.
Yeah.
They went toe-to-toe with Kansas City. Hey, let me ask you, do you go back to that game? The Dolphins played in there.
Well, how about any game this weekend?
Yeah, but this is a stupid question, but anyway, like, you remember how Tua fared in that game.
How's he fared in any game below 45-degree weather?
Yeah, I mean, the Dolphins had zero chance to win that game. I don't think you felt Houston was ever, like, really out of that game. They did have their chances. But yeah, it's a tough ask for anyone to go in there. It's a tough ask for Josh Allen to go in there and win. Okay. So like nobody's saying that it wasn't tough for the Dolphins to go in there a year ago and get a win. I don't think anyone's downplaying that. Like, yeah, Kansas City, it was -20 degrees. No one's saying that was an easy place to play, but we're talking about the body of work here, man. And if you think that the Dolphins have anything in common with the four teams that played from the AFC or the two teams that are going to play on Sunday, then I don't know what to tell you.
I just watched all the games this weekend, and we're like, wow, imagine if the Dolphins were in this game, or playing in this game. Whew.
But, yeah, I don't know, man. People always got to bring up Tua for some reason. And this is actually a better one. This guy says, we have Tua, depressing watching Allen and all the playoff QBs. Yeah, he's got nothing in common with any of those guys. It is what it is, man. Maybe you could find a way to put a system around him. Guys in the other league, the NFC, seem to be able to do it. They don't have the elite quarterback play. You look at the teams that were left, right? I mean, you have Jared Goff. He's good. He's not elite.
Jalen Hurts,
good, not elite. Certainly. You had Baker Mayfield a week ago. He's
good, not elite.
I don't even know if I'd put him in good at this point, but he's better. Sam Darnold. Better. I mean, I don't know.
What's the average?
But yeah, I mean, look, there's just no question that, and it's not just a Tua thing. The Dolphins, as a whole, do not have anything in common with three teams. I don't want to put Houston in this conversation, although the Dolphins did lose to Houston. There are three teams in the AFC right now that are head and shoulders above the rest, and that's Baltimore, Buffalo, and Kansas City. And I don't know that there's any debating that. Texas said Daniels will have a sophomore slump like C.J. Stroud did this season. Call that one, too. Okay. I don't know. It seems to me like Jaden Daniels has all the tools. That's just from watching him play. But the texture says not smart. Mahomes and Allen will crash into a rogue defender who doesn't care about a flag and pay the consequences one day. Josh Allen doesn't care. Josh Allen's big enough. Mahomes is not. But Mahomes, man, do they protect that guy like no other. They get a lot of calls.
He's good. He's like the basketball player that knows how to stop when someone's running behind him. They run into him. Like, he's got his bag of tricks, but that's why he's Patrick Mahomes.
Texas says, as long as Ross is the owner running the team, we'll never be like those teams. I'm sorry the Dolphins didn't beat anybody from the playoffs in the past 3 years. Yeah, I mean, like, again, to throw the Dolphins into this conversation is a little... It's not helpful, yes, is what I'm trying to say here, Dan. But, I mean, Tua, to compare him to any of these guys that are playing is like, I mean, you're doing Tua a disservice because he's not in their league. He just isn't, and that's okay. That's the reality of the situation. The Dolphins will try to build around him, and they'll try. We will try to go to break here, Dan. I will tell you, Omar Kelly is up. Omar just texted me, so maybe we can get Omar to jump in with us next year. A lot of stuff going on. The college football news continues to get weirder by the day. There's some sort of quasi-lawsuit here that the Big Ten is crying about. Miami stole their player, and they're all upset, and so they're going to try to cry foul here. I don't think they're going to have any luck. But they are crying pretty. We should send Wisconsin some crying towels, Dan. Help them with their tears. But a very sad situation going on in Wisconsin. We really certainly feel for them.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Miami Herald's Omar Kelly is with us here this morning. Omar, good morning. How you doing on this Monday?
I'm good morning. How you gentlemen doing?
We're doing, man. We're doing. Dan Day is doing about 9 straight hours of radio today because nobody else works here. So he's holding it down. I'm only doing 4 hours today because that's all I got in me, Omar, after watching all those games yesterday. It was a lot of fun to watch. We'll start with the big one. And, boy, Lamar Jackson, for the second straight year, Omar, it's not his fault. He had a lot of stuff around him go wrong. And you talk about guys that are like the most steady players you know, Mark Andrews of all people. They said he didn't have a fumble since like 2019. That was the year they said. And he fumbles one as they possibly could have been going in for the go-ahead touchdown, Omar. They would have been in Bills territory with about 8 minutes left in the game. So he fumbles there. They do get the ball back with another chance. And Mark Andrews, after an incredible drive by Lamar Jackson, throws an incredible pass into the end zone for a touchdown. Mark Andrews drops the two-point conversion. What were your takeaways from that game from a Baltimore standpoint? We'll get to the Buffalo side of things in a moment. But just from a Baltimore standpoint, what were your takeaways?
You know, people will say when Lamar Jackson's career is over, or if he eventually doesn't get to a championship and win it all, that he fell short of expectations. But, you know, he did it. He led his team to the drive. He led his team to the touchdown. So it's very interesting to see. And the two-point conversion, and it was a completed pass, and, you know, but these things happen. It doesn't stop the narrative from really being the issue, but these things happened. Mark Andrews has been a very reliable and consistent player. It's just a matter of, you know, it didn't it didn't work. It didn't pan out. And it's horrible that that's the situation that he finds himself in. But I don't even think they would have won even if they had scored. You still left a lot of time on the clock for Josh Allen in Buffalo. I did believe that the Ravens were the better team. However, you can't turn the ball over that many times and expect to win.
Yeah, we saw a lot of teams turn the ball over this past weekend here. But just from a Buffalo side here, Omar, I certainly thought they took their foot off the gas pedal in the second half. Their play calling got a little conservative, to say the least, there. And they certainly let Baltimore back in that game. But they did just enough to get the win. And Josh Allen is heading back to play Patrick Mahomes again. But Buffalo's going to have to do a lot more, I think, this upcoming weekend than they did yesterday.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think Josh Allen's probably going to have to rely on his legs a little bit more. But I think the Bills, they've got a good chance. I don't think they're you know how I feel about the Chiefs. And we saw some questionable, concerning calls. It wasn't the reason why they won the game. But I'm a big believer that, you know, if it's even questionable, the Chiefs are gonna get the call, just because the NFL needs a dynasty. They need that power. They need that ratings juggernaut. And the Chiefs are that team. I think Philadelphia is probably the only team that can beat Kansas City. I don't think that Buffalo can do it. They're just not a complete team. Maybe if they were hosting the game, they could pull it off. But the Chiefs are a team destined, and the league needs them.
Well, let's go to that game. And you know what, Omar? I mean, whether you want to call it bounces or calls or whatever, it always does. It does. It seems like it always bounces the Chiefs' way, and it did once again. I thought the Texans played them tough. I thought C.J. Mm-hmm. Stroud did, you know, everything that he could. He was getting knocked around pretty good. The Texans played their asses off in that game. But again, a lot of these things do tend to break the direction of the Kansas City Chiefs.
I thought Houston played a real admirable game. There were two opponents that really made me think about the Miami Dolphins and where this organization is and their failures and their shortcomings and why things haven't panned out. It was Washington and Houston. I mean, Houston, think about it. Think about how fortunate they are to have built a playoff team, arguably a contender, in two seasons. Mm-hmm. Two seasons. How long has it taken the Dolphins? What are we on? 24 years or something like that? Yeah, this rebuild is in year six or seven. This rebuild started in 2019. We're in year five. Yeah, I'm not good at math. And then Washington, goodness gracious. I mean, they're winning with Michael Dieter as center and Noah Igbinoghene as the starting cornerback. So they're taking your leftovers, your bad players, and they're winning with them. But that's a totally different side note. We were talking about the Chiefs. You know what I like about that game? It showed that they had like 3 weeks of rest, 3 weeks to regenerate their bodies. And I really thought it benefited Kansas City, because you saw Travis Kelce look like he was probably 5 years younger. Travis Kelce had looked like he had aged the worst in the NFL last season. But when you get 3 weeks worth of rest, it shows you the difference that it can make for your body in this sport.
Omar Kelly here with us. Omar, I don't know how you feel about the running back position. I've always felt it's very undervalued. I really do. I think there should be more importance put on it. I think guys should get paid better at that position. And I think we really saw it with Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry, the difference that those guys make. And I know the last drive for the Ravens, they had to rely on Lamar, and he drove them the entire way down the field. But the drive prior, Derrick Henry really took over, and it just looked like guys did not want to tackle him anymore. And then you saw what Saquon Barkley did for the Eagles in a game that, boy, the Rams, by the way, the Rams played those guys real tough Give the Rams a lot of credit because they are I don't know how they did it, Omar. They were in that that boat where it just looked like they couldn't afford anyone anymore and everyone was going to leave and they had no talent left, and they figured it out, and they look like a team that's going to be pretty competitive for a while here. But I will tell you, the running back position, I thought, got a good boost here over the weekend.
Oh, absolutely. It doesn't mean that the NFL is going to pay them any better or treat them any better. Unfortunately, running backs are viewed like the tires on your car. You get four, they start to get worn down, you get rid of them, you get new ones. You know, nobody does that to a car. Saquon Barkley, I mean, and Derrick Henry, those are two missteps and mistakes that organizations made. How the Giants ever thought that, you know, they'd be better off without Saquon Barkley, that's clearly ridiculous. Wasn't what's wrong with that franchise, but it certainly showed you that he could be a finishing piece. Howie Roseman and Ozzie Newsome, those are the two preeminent premier GMs, executives in this league. And yes, Ozzie Newsome is still running the Ravens. Don't let it fool you. Don't let him somewhat retiring. I'm throwing air quotes up. I see him everywhere. And he's still doing the same job he's been doing for 20 years. Those teams added power backs, added difference makers, and it got them to where they were and where they are. And, you know, 2 years ago, the Eagles were in the Super Bowl. The Eagles probably were considered the front runners to win the Super Bowl, and they didn't. But they're a better team now. Hell, they got Vic Fangio out there coordinating the number one defense after, you know, his falling out with Miami. So it's a good organization ran by good executives, and their ability to draft well and select talent is really what's got the Ravens and the Eagles where they are. Now, the question is, can they finish the job? Well, clearly Baltimore couldn't. And it'll be interesting to see if the Philadelphia Eagles can.
I think the Eagles are going to have a tough time, Omar. I think the Commanders are the real deal. Yeah, they look tough, man. By the way, to go into Detroit and lay it on that team the way that they did, I thought was incredibly impressive. It was the biggest spread of the weekend. They were the biggest underdogs of the weekend. But I started off by saying this, Omar, and I said that this was not directed directly towards the Dolphins, but Jaden Daniels is, to me, he's the reason you got to keep taking stabs at getting that quarterback, because the Commanders were as dysfunctional, as pathetic a franchise as we have in that league.
Don't forget a new head coach, a new culture, new philosophy.
Yeah, well, maybe all that fits, babe, but...
Yeah, I mean, there's,
But clearly, Jaden Daniels is driving that thing, and it really is remarkable, Omar, that you could bring in, like you said, the new coach, new quarterback, and go from being one of the the bottom dwellers of the NFL to on the cusp of a Super Bowl.
Keep in mind that Washington had gone through a whole lot of dysfunction, a whole lot of drama, a whole lot of chaos. And don't think Ron Rivera's, you know, it just fell apart on Ron Rivera. I think they were a playoff team like the year before. Sometimes when you have dysfunction and those kinds of things in your organization, it kind of pollutes you and distracts you. And, you know, clearly the Dolphins have had dysfunction for quite some time and probably have it a little bit now. I don't think it's just a quarterback, even though I was one of those people who told you Jaden Daniels was going to be better than, you know, the Caleb Williams. And I thought he was just a can't miss prospect. I did not expect him to play that well as he has this season. But then when they have the joint practice against the Dolphins and it was a red zone, it was a red zone and goal line day. And he just scored touchdown after touchdown, after touchdown, after touchdown, after touchdown. And I thought to myself, whoa, this kid's got a poise and a presence to him. But then think about C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud had a phenomenal rookie season, and then he came back to earth last year, this year. So it'll be interesting to see the development and the progress that Jaden Daniels. But I agree with you. You got to take stabs, keep taking stabs at quarterback. However, you also got to be in the right position to do so, because the Washington Commanders, they were selecting number two. And, you know, look at the Chicago Bears. Look at how many times they've taken a stab at a quarterback and it hasn't panned out. So sometimes you just got to get lucky, too.
And Omar, as I watch all these games, one of the things that I think about is you, because you say it all is won in the trenches, and all the teams that are still in the playoffs right now are in the trenches. Coincidence? I think not. How did the Dolphins go about this offseason shoring up the offensive line?
I think it starts with adding two guards, adding two better starting caliber guards that fit your scheme. I think you do one in free agency, you do one in the draft, and then you probably, you know, I think you have to have a entire draft, not entire, but, you know, I hate drafting for positions because I think that that's a recipe for disaster. And this organization has done it so many different ways, including drafting for positions. But I think that if you have 10 draft picks, half of them have to be spent on the trenches, offensive and defensive line. You do not, if you are not good in the trenches, you will not be a good football team. And you might get away with it in September and November. But when it gets cold, and when those run games matter, because look what happened in the snow. Look what happened in these December games. Run games matter. They matter in December. They matter in the playoffs. And if you don't have a physical team that can actually get after the quarterback and open up running lanes and stop the run and you know, protect the quarterback, you're not gonna give yourself a chance. And, you know, as much as everybody wants to put everything on this team and organization on Tua, if you look at it, he wasn't the problem. The fact that he has poor trenches on his team, that is the problem, and I'll never ever waver from that.
All right. Well, we know you're not going to, Omar, but I will ask you this, because we've gotten a lot of these texts this morning, and I mean, clearly you watched those games yesterday and over the weekend, and you know, the takeaway, if you're a Dolphins fan, is we are not close. And I don't want to say it starts at the quarterback position. That's fine. I will disagree with you. I know you're going to be here tomorrow with me, so we can fight it out tomorrow.
Okay,
but
all right.
The Dolphins are clearly not in the league of any of these teams.
Because they're not AFC in the league side. They're not in the league of any of these teams in the trenches. But last year they were, until, you know, it fell apart on them. But last year they were one of the better teams in the trenches. Set a franchise record for sacks.
Well, that doesn't help your argument very much then, because they couldn't beat anyone with a winning record last year either. So that kind of hurts your argument a little bit.
They beat Dallas. I hate when people throw that people just create the narratives that they want. Last year was a great model of how you can do it if you're good in the trenches and good in certain areas. Unfortunately, you know, it fell apart on them from an injury standpoint, and that's what happens in the NFL. That's why you got to make sure that you draft well, so you have good backups and backups that can step up and be ready for the moment. This year's team is not of that caliber. Last year's team was. The question is, how quickly can you get back to that, and can you finish better and finish stronger? And we shall see.
We shall see, Omar. I appreciate the time this morning. You'll be with us tomorrow, and we'll try to make sense of some of these things that we've seen here and how they tie into the Dolphins and all that good stuff. But thank you for the time today. Appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your day, all right?
All right. Talk to you later.
All right, Omar Kelly, Miami Herald with us. We'll take a pause. Joe is going to stop by as well here this morning, and we'll get to more of your texts. A lot of stuff coming in. Dan, I got to tell you that I tried this morning to not tie this into the Dolphins. We had a lot of texts about it. And look, the sad reality is the Dolphins are not. They're not close, folks. I don't know what to tell you. You watch those games over the weekend. And by the way, every game, I think, for the most part, that was played outdoors. I don't know if I'm missing one, but those games were all in vicious weather conditions. You know, yeah. I just...
Every game I watched, I thought about that.
I don't know. L.A., though, man. I don't know. L.A., it's not... Certainly not... Doesn't snow in L.A., as far as I know. And they went in there, and they played pretty tough against the Eagles. Like, it didn't seem to bother Matt Stafford all that much. It bothered Puka Nacua a little bit. He had that late drop. But, yeah, it didn't... Certainly didn't seem to bother Stafford, but yeah, it's just not. We're not close yet, Dan. We're getting there, maybe.
We're working at it.
We're not at the moment. We do have the college football playoff tonight, Ohio State and Notre Dame. A texter sent this in earlier that how It's very tough, this matchup, because they're both two very scumbaggy programs. I agree with that completely. The only thing I will say, so Al Golden is at Notre Dame, as we know. I find him easy to root for. I was working here when he was the coach, I covered the team and all that stuff. And I will tell you that Al Golden, and to steal from Joe, he did not have a bad bone in his body. Guy was a nice, really, really nice guy. I think the situation he was in here was clearly very unfortunate, right? It was kind of a lot of stuff was not going well, and he really didn't have much of a chance here to succeed, but he is a good defensive coach and has done a good job everywhere else he's been, essentially, and he's got a chance tonight. See if he can't shut down that Ohio State offense. Ohio State comes into this game pretty healthy favorites here, Dan, but we'll see how that goes tonight. Meanwhile, in college football, you have Wisconsin, who is crying, apparently, to anyone that will listen, that Xavier Lucas, who is a defensive back that is trying to transfer to Miami here. They are saying that he signed an NIL contract and that they are not going to allow him to enter the transfer portal, and they need him to honor his contract. The issue is you can't sign contracts like this because there's no such thing. They're not employees. We haven't gotten that far yet. I know they're trying to, but we haven't gotten that far yet. Wisconsin said in a statement that Lucas entered into a binding two-year NIL agreement and a separate agreement with the school's collective. Wisconsin wants that agreement upheld and said the school will, quote, evaluate all options going forward to determine the appropriate course of action. This is the school called the case a significant moment in the evolution of college athletics. Man, I got to tell you, if you lose a guy like this, they transfer, we sign somewhere else. That's just how it works these days. That's the name of the game. Until we get some real rules. And this, by the way, is sometimes how rules start. Sue and, your thing goes to court and whatever. I got to tell you, though, I don't think this is a very good look for Wisconsin. I don't think you want to be the first school to sue a kid.
It's an absolutely terrible look for Wisconsin. Number one, you want a big state university suing a 19-year-old kid. Number two, let's say Wisconsin wins the case. You think he's going back to school there and playing another year to finish out his contract? How's that going to go?
Thing, man. That's the thing. You know what they need to do? They need to hire Jimmy Butler and Bernie Lee. They can help out. Nobody knows how to be a bigger scumbag than Bernie Lee, and he could probably maybe help you out here as far as how to get out of a situation. But I got to tell you, man, out of everyone in that Jimmy Butler thing that I'm just sick of, and Jimmy is playing and he's answering the questions. I don't know. He's kind of ridiculous, but the agent is such a loser. Sends out the thing that, I'm back, the Jordan thing, and then Jimmy shows up in a Jordan number 45 jersey and proceeds to drop 18 points as they get blown out by the Nuggets. I don't know what goes on in these people's heads or what reality they live in, but Jimmy Butler is not as valuable as you guys are making him out to be. And I hate saying that because I do like Jimmy. That's starting to fade, though. I will tell you, it's starting to fade after listening to his comments after the game. Do we have that real quick? I know we're running late here, Dan. Do we have Jimmy's comments after the game on Friday, after they get just thrashed by the Nuggets? Here's what Jimmy had to say.
There was a lot said by everybody, except for me, to tell you the truth. So we'll let people keep talking like they know everything, like they have all the answers. And then sooner or later, the whole truth will come out. But until then, we will continue to let people talk. And if I'm here, I will get out there and play.
You said you didn't know if you'd be able to find your joy playing here. Has anything changed in the interim? And do you think coming back and getting back out on the court, that could potentially change? Or are you still the same feeling that you told us 2 weeks ago?
I was told to say no comment, so no comment. It felt good to get out there and compete. And actually run around with these guys, as much as everybody may think, I don't got a problem with these guys. These guys are cool, they're my friends. Some of them tapped in, some of y'all didn't. Don't think I don't know that. My beef not with them and never will be, never has been. But it did feel good to get out there and play some basketball.
Kevin, it's going to be the same thing about questions. Okay, what's it feel like? What's going on in the background? I mean, from your perspective.
Y'all the one that asks the questions. I just answer them. So whatever
how about
questions.
The question, is it fixable?
Is what fixable?
This situation the way it is now? And
no comment.
There you go. No comment. The truth will come out, though, Dan. Whatever that may be, the truth will come out. And the truth is, I don't know how complicated this is, that Jimmy's upset about his contract. You know, that $53 million he can opt into next year and the 48 this year. It's just not enough for him. And his agent has filled his head with a lot of crap.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is what you get. This is what you get. And it's, I'll be honest, Dwayne said it the best. It is tragic.
Yeah.
It is truly tragic. And the messed up part of it, like the worst part of it is, like, this is a massive stain on Jimmy Butler's legacy. Bernie Lee, like, nobody will remember who that guy is tomorrow. Like, Jimmy's agent is a total nobody. He's a zero. Nobody will ever remember his name.
I mean,
like, Jimmy, you're talking about a guy that, like, he's a fringe. And the more he does this, it becomes fringe. I thought he was a Hall of Fame player going into this, and he may very well be. He's going to have a good case to get into the Hall of Fame. Yeah. But letting your agent drive this ship, man. Like, you're not going to win this. This is not going to end well for anyone involved if he keeps doing this.
Yeah.
I just don't know what the end game is. And again, I think he's allowing this agent who seems to feast off of the attention. That's the worst part about this agent, is that he seems to really need the attention, right? Like, why do you as the agent need to send out the I'm back thing? Why do you always have to go on Twitter and fight with people? Why did you have to send out that thing blasting Shams like he didn't have the story right?
Right.
And where's your apology,
you're probably,
dude?
The person that had a hand in feeding it to him. Like, where do you think Shams is getting it from? The Heat.
He's got great sources.
Yeah.
And anything that those guys said this from the beginning, like, and that guy, again, the agent come out and say what he wants, Jimmy can say what he wants. When a guy like Shams gets the story, those guys are always right.
Yeah.
Like, always. Because they're getting the stuff from good sources. I mean, these are, like, locked-in sources. This isn't like an agent calling. You know who gets agents? I'm not trying to be little beat writers. But usually if you get a story, it's either from a disgruntled player, right? It's usually the agent that leaks it to the beat writers, okay?
100%.
This Jimmy situation, I think, is very disappointing. I think the agent is driving a lot of it. And again, Jimmy is the one that has to deal with it. Jimmy is the guy that's going to leave a legacy behind. Yeah. This guy, nobody will remember his name tomorrow.
Honestly, if you ask me Monday, a week from today, what's Jimmy Butler's agent's name again?
Who
I'll
cares?
Be like, we talked about it.
Who cares? And this guy is so thirsty for attention. I got to tell you, man, for grown men to have this desperate need for attention on Twitter, it's just kind of, I don't know, man. Mm-hmm. I find it very, very embarrassing, very, very weak, Dan, very weak.